Will you join me in our prayer for illumination? Almighty God, as we read your scriptures and proclaim your word, reveal to us the truth of your love and power. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, and it comes from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. These are the words of Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah. These words are God's word in the flesh. From his Sermon on the Mount, these words that Jesus spoke, they're not just words to his followers, but to all who gathered, to all who could hear his voice. Just as they are today, these words are not just for those who believe. They're not just for the choir or the saints or the members of this church, but for every person. These words are for the seekers and the sinners. These words are for those who wonder and those who wander. These words are for them. These words are for us. Jesus had just given the Beatitudes, as we looked through last week, those blessed bees, blessed be the meek and the peacemakers, the humble. The Beatitudes, or as I like to see it, it's his guest list. Or at least the qualifications of those who are invited to the after party. The characteristics of those who in life and after would find peace, joy, blessing, and comfort with God. And I don't think it's what we expect. It's not what the crowd expected. It's not what we expect today. This list of qualifications of what it might take to be with God forever. It's not what we expect. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, those who mourn. God is with them. He comforts them. He loves them. It doesn't make any sense in this world where status is everything. Where status seems to be our qualification. Status is our blessing or lack thereof. This world where society deems us blessed or not based on brand names and bank rolls or paychecks or promotions. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that those things are not a blessing, but you do not have to have any of those things to be blessed by God. That list of blessed bees is so special. Because you don't have to have anything. You just have to be. The one qualification to check off that list is life. Just to be, just to exist, qualifies you to be able to be blessed by God. You see that list? It leveled the playing field. Do you see that? In a time where everyone feels like our well-being determines whether or not we've been blessed by God, Jesus states quite clearly that that's not the case at all. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness in the heart, the pure of heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. These are not matters of stuff or status. These are matters of the heart. And all of a sudden, we're all qualified. We're all invited because we all have a heart to give, a life to offer. And that's what the Lord requires. God does not want your crops or your livestock at his altar. He wants you with bowed head and bended knee. He doesn't want 10% of your paycheck. He wants 100% of your heart. That's Jesus' version of what it means to be blessed by God. He gives them that in those simple sentences, deeper than we can comprehend in a lifetime of practice. And then he sends them off with these words that we heard this morning, some of my favorite. They now know the new set of rules, and that the rules they've been following, these societal norms that point to your well-being or your possessions to be your status, he says it's a matter of the heart, and he sends them off, tells them, go be the salt of the earth. That's a tough one. If I told you today, if we met in passing and we said, all right, have a nice day. Yeah, go be salt. What? What does that mean? What does it mean to go and be salt? Now, I can't imagine what that would have sounded like then, only what it might sound like today. Sometimes we call people salty. In not a very nice way. But as I really dive into salt and what salt meant then and what it means today, how important it is in the world, how dependent we are on it, it's amazing what he's telling us to go and be salt. Now, when I start digging into salt, the first thing that has come to mind since I was 18 years old is my economics class. Just for the record, I did not do well in high school. I fought everything. I rebelled against everything. I didn't like school, and I was there to... Oh, my poor teachers. Anyway, we had an economics class, and we were talking about products on the market that either go up and down throughout the year, or those stable selling items that just are kind of a constant through the year. And we kind of look at product markets in that way. They either kind of have the same sales rate throughout the year, or they peak in certain seasons. And it was a final. And he asked about salt. And I said it peaked at a certain time. And he said, no, it's a solid market. It never fluctuates. He was talking about table salt, but he didn't write that on there. He just said salt. And I said, what about in the winter time when we throw it all on the roads and we all run out to Home Depot and buy all the salt on the shelves until it's gone, but no one cares about salt in the springtime? He said, principal's office. I probably said it a lot nicer here than I did there, but I fought that with everything I had in me. And I don't even know if he ever gave me credit for it or not. It probably wouldn't have even mattered if I got credit for it or not. But I started thinking about all the salts. What it means to be the salt of the earth in this world where salt has 1,000 uses. In this melting pot, this world, this great stew that we call life, go be salt. Be that which brings out the unique flavors in those around you. Be that salt. When I started looking into what salt was used for back in the day, in Jesus' day, salt was a punishment. Wrongdoers, if you were a repeat customer in the court system, if you were not a nice person and you had land that you grew crops on and you were just not good, wrongdoers, they were to have salt scattered upon their fields. That was the punishment. It rendered them infertile for several years. That sounds really harsh, but be that salt. When seeds of injustice are spread and sown throughout this land, be that which prevents those seeds from growing. Be that salt. Or be a preservative. Most preservatives are salt-based. Preserving the flesh, protecting it from its earthly destruction. Be that salt. Or be sweat. Everyone knows that old, nasty ball cap, right? You've got it. Or at least your spouse does. Someone near and dear to you has that old, tattered, ragged and worn ball cap. And it's got those white, jagged stripes around the side. Those are salt lines. When you sweat through your ball cap and then it dries out, the sweat leaves those salt deposits all around that nasty ball cap. You wear it when you paint the house, when you clean the house, when you work out, when you watch TV, when you walk the dog. You try to wear it out to dinner, but a loved one thinks better of it for you. That's the one. You have that hat. You can picture it right now. The sweat lines, the salt deposits. You know what? Be that salt. Wear that hat out. Let your good works be done in the name of Christ, and let the sweat you put into it be seen by others that they may give glory to God. That's how Jesus ends that paragraph. Is in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be that salt. Be that which points out that hard work has been put into this effort of knowing you are loved and beloved. Or be the salt on the roads. That salt that sells out in the wintertime. Side note. Be the road salt. Be that which clears the path, that others coming after you may see it more clearly and stay on it and be safe in it. Be that salt. Or be an electrolyte. If we're called to be the body of Christ, be an electrolyte. Be the salt that allows electrical impulses to travel through the body. It allows messages to be sent from the head to the hands to the feet. Go be that salt. And I'm up for others. Anybody think of a salt or a salt cliche out there that Jesus might be whether you can see it or not, how else do you use salt in this world? Bath salts. Be clean. Let yourself be that thing that helps others know that they are comforted, that they are, that there's a place to be washed. Where else do we see salt in the world? Preserving. We hit on that with the preservatives and the keeping that the flesh from deteriorating. Taste enhancement. That's the flavor in the stew of life. Be that which brings out the flavor in the stew of life around you. The foundation of Detroit? Wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah, then be the foundation that others may live upon that foundation. I didn't know that. I've even dug massive holes in Detroit and found all kinds of stuff, but never salt. That's awesome. What's that? I guess not. Yeah. I was right by the river, the Detroit River, so we couldn't go too far without it pouring in on us, but I guess I didn't hit the salt. Man, I'm going to look that up. That's very interesting. The cliches that come to my mind are like salt in the wound. Oh, that stings, right? That's a not a good thing. But you know what it's doing? You know why it's stinging? It's killing the bacteria and giving a place for healing to take place. Tears are salty. Be that person that is willing to cry with your friend, with your neighbor, to sit down and be heart-to-heart relationship with someone. Soak your feet. Oh my goodness. Yes, we do that at our house for sure. It's a healing. Be that healing presence in life. The saltiest thing I've ever experienced is the Dead Sea. If you go from Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan goes straight south out of the Sea of Galilee and into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is an amazing phenomenon. It is the saltiest water naturally occurring anywhere on the planet. It has such a high saltiness that nothing can grow in it. That's why it's the Dead Sea. And we get right out in there. People flock to it to go and be in it. But the most amazing characteristic of the Dead Sea is that it's so salty, buoyancy is different by a lot. You float better in really salty water. Don't let it get in your eyes. It's the worst. Those poor friends of mine that said, we're going to take this mud, and it's supposed to be very healing, and you rub it all over your body, and it's so salty, it's healing to your skin. And then they went and put it on their faces, and then they had to rinse it off. Oh, they were hurting so bad. But the draw is the buoyancy. The Dead Sea is so salty and so, it makes you so buoyant that I was able to float on my belly and lift my arms and my legs out of the water. Try that in the lake here. See, it is the most amazing thing. I can keep my head, arms, and legs out of the water floating on my belly. Be that salt. Be that one in your relationships that lifts one another up. Be that holy presence that God is calling us to be in this world. I wasn't sure how I was going to wrap this one up. I have a whole different I had a whole different plan for second service, but I'm gonna do it here too. There's a song that I'd like to share with you. I struggled with whether or not to do it because it's not really a worship song. It's definitely a song that's been inspired by the scriptures and by a relationship in Christ, and it's just so brand new. I think it came out in September, and someone in our second service pointed it out to me last Sunday, and I've been stuck on it. It's just amazing. I think it fits here. I think it fits with what Jesus is calling us and telling us. He says to us, he's telling us from his perspective, he's saying, I am the light of the world. But he's also telling you, go be the light of the world. It's the same with saltiness. He is the preserver. He is the one that lifts us up, but he's also calling us to be that presence in others' lives, to walk with people through life. And one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 11:28. You know, come to me, all who are weary. Lay your burdens upon me and let me take them. That. Let Jesus be that for you and be that for others. And I think that scripture that inspired this song, and I just want to share it with you today.
Weary traveler, beat down from the storms that you have weathered, feels like this road just might go on forever. Carry on. You keep on giving, but every day this world just keeps on taking. Your tired heart is on the edge of breaking. Carry on. Weary traveler, restless soul, you were never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it, so just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long. No more searching, heaven's healing's gonna find where all the hurt is. When Jesus calls, we'll lay down all our heavy burdens and carry on. Weary traveler, restless soul, you were never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it, so just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long. No, you won't be weary long. Someday soon we're gonna make it home. 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 We're gonna make it home. Weary traveler, restless soul, you're never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it, so just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long.
Can you hear him saying, come to me, all who are burdened? Let me take that burden upon me for a moment. Find rest in me. Can you hear him telling you to be that presence in someone else's life as well? That's what he's telling us. He's telling us he is the light and go be the light, that he is the salt, so go be the salt of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.